serious.
I know.
It's funny for two reasons.
Well, this is much fancier quarters than usual.
Yeah,
well,
pretty cool.
Yeah. That must be very important to set a platform like this.
Matthew, how are you?
Autographs.
Good.
Barbara's on the line just here.
Good.
Oh, good. We'll be good.
I think we can get out of here in half an hour.
Good.
Amen.
All right, let's come to order again. So David and I just had an executive session. We agreed it would be great if we could be done with all this in 30 minutes and break early. So I don't see any disagreement on that. Okay, we have four issues that we have. I'm sorry, Adrian, did you have something? Okay. So we have four issues that we're going to discuss today. I've asked David to give a brief overview on the registry's collaboration with ICANN staff on the draft of their new contract, because it could be instructive on for registrars. And just so we know, David and I, the two stakeholder groups have been collaborating a bit on the issue of contracts and ICANN, so that we've been supportive of one another in that area. Our interests are more aligned in that area than probably almost anywhere else. We want to have a general discussion, if it's warranted, on DAG 4. We still need to clarify a process on the election of a council chair and vice chair. I took that action item from Nairobi, and I haven't fulfilled it yet. And then an election process for board seat 13, right? Is there anything else to add to that? Okay. These microphones, by the way, don't work, so we have to share this one up here. So, okay, so... let me turn the floor over to you for a moment and talk a bit about your interaction with ICANN on your contract, if you would.
We're talking about the draft base registry agreement that's part of DAG 1, 2, 3, and 4, which has evolved, as you know, very substantially. And to our shock and horror, in the first version of the draft base registry agreement, there was a provision that really allowed ICANN unilaterally to amend the contract without the consent or approval of the registry contracting party. And you may have all heard this story that when we had the traditional meeting between the board of directors of ICANN and the registry stakeholder group, I think it was two meetings ago, the subject came up, and John Jeffrey, who was at the meeting, produced the offending language. And Peter Dengate Thrush took one look at it and said, well, I'd never let any client of mine sign something like this. John seemed to be a little embarrassed by that, with good reason. At any rate, that led to a number of teleconferences and discussions. And the upshot of it was a conference in Marina del Rey earlier this year that covered two subjects. One was the unilateral amendment of contracts, and the other the post-delegation dispute resolution procedure, which was also a matter of concern to us. And we were pleasantly surprised at how well that meeting in Marina del Rey went. It was very serious. It was attended by John Jeffrey, Dan Halloran, Kurt Pritz, all the top people were there, Craig Schwartz, but also the outside counsel from Jones Day. And they, I think, were probably instrumental in crafting a new provision, which you can see now in the draft base registry agreement. There is still arguably an opening for unilateral amendment rights, but it's restricted, subject to a lot of conditions, and for the most part, we think we can live with it. So it's one case where we've given ICANN a lot of credit for meeting us better than halfway and allowing for a constructive solution.
Yeah, just to add to it, what we did is we had asked for the creation of what we called the Legal Working Group, which is a standing committee of attorneys from the registries to go in and negotiate with ICANN and also allow a select few attorneys from some other groups to come in and listen and help contribute to the conversation. So that was really, when David's saying the conference, we established this Legal Working Group. And you'll see that actually kind of documented in the new procedure, which I don't think is in any way a unilateral amendment, because it actually requires that a certain percentage of the registries actually agree. So without that percentage of the registries agreeing to it, there's no right for ICANN to do anything with the agreements. So essentially, I think the process that we used to get to that amendment has actually now been codified so that there will be this standing legal working group going forward. And I think that's I don't know if you guys want to use that as a model for the registrar agreements, but I think it's a very effective model. I think it actually got some of the ICANN business and policy people sort of out of it, and it got it down to the attorneys to figure out what each side was trying to accomplish, and I think we did it.
Okay, thank you for that background. I think Jeff, that's exactly what we're looking for, is a mechanism by which the registrars can have more of, approval authority, or, you know, the ability to exceed contract terms, to have more of that under our control or involvement, because there's really not much of it at this point. So I wanted to get a briefing on that just so that we can understand how you made progress on the issue. Is there any questions from anyone about this for David or Jeff? Chuck?
They should. Okay, got it. Okay, thanks. Need a little help. Just to want to reemphasize something that I think David said is that when we did this, ICANN staff did open it up to others outside the registry stakeholder group, and I think that was okay. But I want to make sure you guys are aware of that, so that there would be. But it was restricted, I think, to attorneys, because you're working with a legal document. Whether that has to be the case in your situation or not, I don't know. But it worked well in our case.
Thanks for that, Chuck. Thoughts, issues? Okay. All right. Okay, we have DAG 4 on the agenda as well. is there anything you want to start with, Dave?
Nothing in particular.
Okay. Okay, so let's just put DAG 4 out there.
Just one point of clarification.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, under the proposal in the DAG, Chuck, it's not limited to just attorneys. So it may have been the registry's intention that they would most likely appoint attorneys, but the definition of the working group is much broader than that. So anyone could participate.
All right, John, thanks. Okay, so back to the DAG. Let's put that on the floor just to open it for discussion. Is there, what we're looking for is any area of the DAG that could be an issue between registrars and registries, other than obviously the obvious ones, but that we could use this time to resolve or at least discuss productively. I mean, if not, that's okay, but we wanted to make it available if so. Boy, we're getting work done in record time here. This is amazing. Yeah, it's about the end of the day, right? So, yeah. Jeff?
Yeah. So I guess you guys, everyone sat in the meeting yesterday with law enforcement and heard, you know, some of the other groups and their wish lists, and a lot of those were pointed towards registrars, but I think a lot of those could also be pointed towards registries as well, on some of the validation and other issues. Have you guys looked through those, the law enforcement and IP wish list, and do you guys have any thoughts about that, or have you commented on it or plan on commenting on that?
Yes, very definitely. And we're concerned that the fundamental concern, of course, is that the registrars are the parties that have direct contact with the registrants that presumably are causing whatever the the problem is, the law enforcement problem, and the registries are one level removed, so we're very concerned that we're being drawn into somebody else's problem, and we certainly will be commenting on it.
So we'll be commenting on that, but also we understand that not all of the problems that were mentioned by law enforcement, I don't think any of us believe they're all problems of registrars. In other words, just because there are groups out there that basically allege that content violations should be the problem of registrars, we don't share that view. You know, there's a fine line. You know, I know there were groups about illegal pharmaceuticals, and, you know, there are certain registries that will and do have policies dealing with it, but I don't think ICANN is the place to require those or necessarily enter into any type of content restriction. So we'll be commenting on, as David said, some of these groups have gone to the registries and said, okay, your registrars aren't dealing with it, now it's your responsibility. But I think the other element we'll be commenting on is even some of those things that they're coming to us on, I don't think are necessarily issues of registrars.
Just one more comment on that is, I would hope that, David, what maybe I didn't get what you're saying correctly, but I hope you're not pushing it back down to the registrars and saying, hey, it's the issue with them, because some of the issues, like the validation, is the one that concerns us the most, and, you know, a lot of registries do have a thick who is, so they might push that on both of us as well to validate the customers. So I just take a look at it as a whole and see what the issues are, and I'd hopefully maybe we could both discuss it on, because it's an issue for both of us and some unreasonable demands that really cannot be met by either one of us.
No, I agree completely.
John Nevitt.
Yeah, thanks, David and folks. One thing you may want to consider in producing comments on this point is something that came up in the when the registrars met earlier with the ICANN board, and that's the folks in the community using the amendment process of our contracts as a way to short-circuit the policy development process. So, for example, a change in the who is procedures, which one would expect to go through a PDP, folks are trying to use this amendment process, be it the RAA or in the future probably this new registry amendment process, in a way to short-circuit the full policy development process, which has a certain level of protection in there and a certain level of industry and participant input that is not necessarily included in the amendment process.
Yeah, I think that's right, John. We tried to, in that provision, make it clear that anything within the picket fence would not fall within this amendment process in the new GTLD registry agreement. We tried to do that. If you think the language could be made more clear, certainly let us know, and we can make that comment.
Right, but you're making comments on the RAA potential changes, right?
Correct. So we should include a similar that the registrar agreement should have similar language to what we got into the new registry agreements.
Right. Either similar language, or that it's inappropriate for the community to put policy development type issues through this amendment process versus the PDP process.
I think that makes sense. Can I also ask? And I think we brought up at a previous meeting. Is there a way we can create a joint mailing list to talk about these issues? Because I think this is great, and if we could just communicate back and forth on these issues, that would help us out.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. Any thoughts? Joyce, I have you in the queue, but any thoughts on that idea from folks in the room? Would that be a useful tool? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Joyce?
I just want to ask the registries. I know that we registrar get email from time to time that asking us to take the domain name down, you know, that's because of the phishing or whatever. And do you guys get any email at all that asking you to take the name down?
All the time.
Okay. Because you have more power than we do. So.
Well, yeah, in theory, since we're the registry, but most of these requests that come in, we answer by saying that either the registrar should be approached on whatever the problem is, or in many cases it's a read the UDRP, that's where your remedy is. NuSTAR, I think VeriSign and PIR are all in the Eastern District of Virginia for the federal court. So if someone is really serious and they go to the federal court and get an order telling us to take down a name, we comply.
For the intellectual property or the patent infringement or whatever, that's it's a murky issue. But I'm talking about the site. It's really engaging in illegal activities like the phishing site.
At least for PIR, we have an abuse policy, and if there's well documented, we have an independent researcher who looks into these allegations. If someone's phishing, malware, that kind of activity, we look to registrars for cooperation. But if all else fails, in serious instances, we will take down a name.
Thank you.
So I think each registry has its different policies with respect to that. David explained what PIRs is. NuSTAR is a little bit more aggressive than that. We have a lab in-house, and we test it out to see if there is phishing, farming, or malware, and then we will go, and if we verify it, 100% verification, we'll send a notice to the registrar allowing you all to basically say, you got 12 hours. If you want to take it down yourselves, more than welcome. If not, we'll do it for you. So that's, I think, on the more aggressive scale. But each registry has got kind of their own policy at this point. I don't know if that's ever going to be standardized or if there'll be best practices. I think that's one of the recommendations out of the REP group, is that there's some best practices possibly established. But each of us do it differently.
We like your policy of giving us emails, say, taking 12 hours to take it down, so that you feel some responsibility, legal liability, at least cover up a little bit.
Well, from our perspective, if you don't want that responsibility, we'll do it after 12 hours.
Okay.
So, and then you just pass it to the registry, and I'd be happy to. Just so you give you some statistics, we've taken down well over 200,000 .biz and .us names in the past 4 years, and we've not only have we not had any lawsuits, we haven't had one single letter telling us that we were wrong. So I'm not worried about it. If you want to pass it to us, go ahead.
You're the bad cop?
What?
You play
Chuck.
The bad cop?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're aware that there's a little bit of difference in terms of what's going on with the new GTLD base agreement and negotiation of existing agreements or amendments to those agreements. Not that that makes any difference in the points we're making. I think we're all unanimous on that, but let's keep that in mind. At the same time, I think it's really critical, and I think we're all on the same page on this, that we're okay with input into the process, but in terms of negotiating itself, it should be between the parties. And so we have to be a little bit careful on if you guys use the idea of this legal working group concept or working group concept not restricted to legal persons, be real careful that you don't set a precedent, because you're talking about amendments to your existing agreement that you open the door for giving outside parties to participate in that negotiation process. So I think the working group has to be couched very carefully, otherwise you might set a precedent there. Keep in mind that what we did was for the new base agreement, which is a little bit different because that hasn't been established yet. None of us have entered into that.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I think it's pretty safe to say that there's nobody in this room who would disagree with the idea that only contracted parties, the parties to the contract, should be involved in the direct negotiation. I think we're all unanimous on that. Okay. Any other comments? The floor is a bit open, but we have a couple other things that we can address. But Jeff?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, David. We were going to talk about chair and vice chair, because sooner or later we're going to have to elect a couple of them, right?
That's right.
So just where we left off last time, correct me if I'm wrong, but during the Nairobi meetings, we thought it would be a good idea for a just sort of a mini working group of registries and registrars to get together and brainstorm some ideas and then put them before us for you know, to work out a process. Is that right? And I said I would do that, and you're right, it's still a good idea, so I need to do that. But any thoughts, input on that on that issue while we're all here together, Chuck?
Yeah, the thing of it, we can't keep putting that off.
Right.
We don't want to get to the point where we're ready to need a vote by the houses, and we don't know how to do it. So we really need to get on that right away.
Right. Yeah, I wrote it down, and now Matt's going to write it down. So So we're backed up. All right, board seat 13. I'm gonna let you talk about this one.
My suggestion, same deal. We need a working group. I don't see any ready-made, easy solution. Anyone got a Chuck? My recollection is not that good on how it was done last time. I think it was the same ad hoc process.
Talking about board seat 13, the last time there was no real process that we had, but we were all in violent agreement because we only had one candidate, which does make things a lot simpler. So, you know, back to what Chuck was saying, if we really need to get on this as well. I forget when Bruce's term is up next, but obviously he was re-elected at the Nairobi meeting, so I would expect we have a lot more time on that issue than the vice-chair-chair issue. If people want background on what I'm talking about, I'm happy to give it, but it's just that the GNSO elects two directors to the ICANN board. There's a seat 13 and 14. Since the GNSO restructure, there are two sides of the GNSO, two houses. Our house, the contracted party's house, elects one seat, and the other house elects the other. Currently, those two seats are held by Bruce for us and Rita Rodin for the other house.
Tim?
So is this in regards to just any voting that our house may do? Is that
for the board?
For the board.
Yeah.
Primarily. Okay.
Well, that was a lively discussion, wasn't it?
Well, what Tim's asking there, though, I mean, Tim, you raise a really good question. Any vote, any situation where we need a vote by the house, we have to develop procedures for that. So that certainly includes the chair elections, and that's coming up this year. So that's why I had the sense of urgency. The chair and the vice chairs are areas where we have to make house decisions on, not just individual stakeholder decisions, and we do not have procedures for doing that.
Right, there may be other issues that come up on the council. I can think of one that's coming up potentially and related to the issue with the amendments and the whole RAA thing. So I think it's good to have at least some process in place where we can dialogue and, you know, kind of see where we're both at, kind of at least a temperature,
yeah,
or whatever, before we surprise each other on the council with a vote.
Rob?
I think that's really the issue, Chuck. So there's two possible votes, right? If you need 51%, there's seven of you, so that's easy. If you need two-thirds, we need to agree. So I think the thing we need to figure out is how do we communicate when we need two-thirds so that we're agreeing before it ever gets to a vote, and then it should be simple. If we violently disagree, the seventh person is going to decide it, you know, if it's a 51% vote. So I think it's probably a process of how do we discuss the issues as opposed to the mechanics of how the vote happens. I think that's pretty simple.
I do think, though, that we do need the mechanics. But
isn't it just a secret ballot vote? Like call
it
the
could
issue
be.
And
it could
away
be.
You go?
That's what we need to decide. But we probably want some communication, like you're saying, before we get to that point.
Right.
Stefan?
Yeah, plus you have to take into account that the seventh person isn't from either house. So that's an important thing, you know. And there's at the moment, as you know, the seventh, my English is going, it's late in the day. Person number seven is actually assigned to us, so he could go either way, and we don't necessarily have much control over that.
But that does raise another issue. At what level do we involve the NCA, the NOMCOM appointee, in some of our processes? Do we just throw it on them at the end of where we're at? We're stuck. We're at a 3-3, and then we throw it on them. That's probably not a real great way to go. But that's another thing that we have to think through.
I think you get dinner, we get drinks afterwards. So that's, no.
Okay. Other thoughts on choosing those positions? God, we're in danger of getting out early, David.
Well, okay.
Oh, and Stefan spoils the party.
Don't worry.
Go ahead, Stefan.
I'll help you out there. So what's the process that you guys are suggesting, that the working group be put together?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Any other business?
Are we going to talk about the vertical integration issue, or are we going to leave that for tomorrow's fight?
If you want, sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It dawns on me that the 65-person working group or whatever it's up to now isn't going to get anywhere. And it's going to come down to the two parties in this room figuring out what they want to do. And we've been on opposite ends of this, and we've debated this in public and everything else. I think the board's put into place something that doesn't really work if it stays as it is for either of us. So it dawns on me that we can go through this process tomorrow, but perhaps some cool heads ought to sit down after that and say, you know, if this isn't going anywhere, if the working group's not going to reach anywhere, is there something we want to negotiate and talk amongst ourselves and go forward to the board with a position jointly from the registrars and registries? And I throw it out there for discussion, but I have no confidence that the working group is going to get anywhere that benefits both of us.
Well,
because there's other interests in it that don't want to see it change from what it is.
So this is Keith Drazik from VeriSign. I think, Rob, it's a good idea, but one of the challenges is that there's not unanimity within the registry constituency in terms of, right? So I think just, you know, it may not be a bad idea, but just wanted to make that clear that, you know, we don't have a unified position.
And also, the working group is really responsible for doing the work here. I don't think we can take away their job.
Beyond that, Rob, I think this is a dangerous subject to even get into, considering what we're talking about here. So I'm not even confident that a road we should go down, especially, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, any other business today, folks? We are adjourned.
For those that are wondering, the score update: France is down 1-0, and Mexico and Uruguay are at 0-0 or 0-0.
Why do they do it that way?